that we remember it's not what we do, but it's what God will do. And we need to never lose sight of that. This morning outside, I mentioned about prayer. Prayer is something that's not done enough. We need more prayer. But I've had people tell me so many times, I was praying for that to happen. I prayed. And I wonder today if we sometimes don't forget, we pray, but it's what God will do. We have to remember, it's not me that got it done, it's the Lord that did it. And we have to come as lowly as we possibly can to the Lord and let Him pick us up. It's so much more impressive, by the way, when the Lord does the work rather than when we do it. I don't know if any of y'all have ever tried to do anything artistic before, but if you notice these artists, they can come along with the same paints that you have, same colors on their palette, and when they get done, the picture looks like something. When I get done, it looks like I painted it. Okay, but when they get done, it's an amazing what an artist can do. If we let the Lord do the work, it's so much better. I want us to notice these words in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. Mine eyes, mine heart shall be there perpetually. Those words that are focused there on that page, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that is what we're going to talk about today. Dear Father, I pray that today we would look and see what you will do in the Word of God, and we will appreciate that the effort, the work, the labor that we may expend is nothing compared to the work, the results, the reaping, the harvest, Lord, that you have prepared. And I pray that we would focus now upon you and your wonderful goodness to us, your greatness among your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Such simple words, I will. A lot of times people say that's what would kind of direct your life as to whether you're successful or whether you're a failure based upon what you're determined that you will or will not do. And of course that does have a lot to do with it, how you will respond or how you will not respond to what happens in life. Sometimes the greatest, most successful people have had worse troubles than you may have had. It's just they responded differently. When no one else would do it, they said, I will. They went through those battles and they faced those trials in that way. Now we come to a place in our life and we look at that, I will, what I will do and I will not do. That's a dangerous path to go down, though, when you're dealing with the Lord. I've had men that have sat back in the office with me, and I've tried to plead with them on what they should do in their lives, and only to have them say no or put me off, put the Lord off. You plead with people sometimes to do what's right, and they say, I will not do what's right. They never say it in that direct manner, but that's exactly what they mean with their heart. I will is a dangerous word. I've heard complaints. I've stood out in the yard before and heard from men much older than myself and had them tell me, when I was young, the Lord called me to preach. I never did it. And they say those fateful words to me, it's too late now. I say, why is it too late now? Because I'm too old. It's too late now. I begged and pleaded with them, just do what's right. Only to have them sit back there and say, I won't. I tell you, I will is a dangerous word when it talks about us. There are some that are called to submit to God's will, but then they don't do it. It's so easy to sit back in a pew somewhere and have the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, know that you ought to do something right, and you sit there and you'll start to say, well, Lord, if you'll have such and such happen, then I'll do what you want me to do. We bargain with the Lord. We throw out a fleece to the Lord. Be careful. Gideon fell into many traps. He placed one for everybody, didn't he, when he put that fleece out there? You come to the place in your life when you'll do what God wants you to do, no matter whether the Lord puts the fleece out or not. That's what he's looking for. But we sit back there and say that what happens in our life and some chance, some open door, some open window is going to determine whether we're faithful to God or not. Whether or not the door is closed or the door is open, you better go where God wants you to go. You better do what God wants you to do. I tell you, I will is a dangerous word. If God says speak, you better speak. And if God says be silent, you better learn to be silent. We go on and we brag about what we will do for the Lord. I'll do this for God, and I'll do that for God, and I'll accomplish this with my life, and I'll accomplish that with my life. And I'll tell you this, we have nothing possible whereby we should brag about to the Lord. We are merely clay. If there's anything beautiful in our life, it's because the potter has put us upon the wheel, and he's pushed us down, and he's molded us, and he's brought us up again. And he's the one that put the fine details in our life, and he's the one that made us worthy of anything. But we're not worthy in and of ourselves. From the dust we are, to the dust we shall return. We have to remember that we have to be very careful about what we say we will do for the Lord. We must remember today that it is the servant that is important in heaven, not the master. The Lord doesn't call people who are masters, the Lord calls people who are servants. In all of that, we should have it in our mind that it is not God that should come and beg with man, but it is man that should come and beg with God. People have asked a lot over this last few weeks, why is all this happening? Why is all this occurring in our nation? Why are we going through all of these troubles and struggles and strife? And it is because of our relationship with God. See, we may be the wealthiest nation in the world, but it does not mean that we're the most righteous nation in the world. You cannot be righteous if you leave God behind. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And we must be very, very careful how we raise our voice up to the Lord and how we think that we can control everything, contain everything. Young people do it. They sit back and they say, well, I will serve God one day when I get older. I will. And they put it off. Maybe there's a friend that they're trying to impress or someone they're afraid of, someone they're scared of. Fear is a very real thing for young people. You can be afraid of so much when you're young. You can be afraid of shadows that move across the windows. You can be afraid of noises that you hear. Slightest thing can startle you when you're young. You sit back and say, I will serve God when I no longer fear. I'm going to tell you something. Fear is very real for older people too. Today in our nation, we are afraid of something that is so teeny tiny you can't even see it. Without a very powerful microscope. People are afraid. So afraid, some people will give you dirty looks when you walk through a store. So afraid, people are so afraid that they said that some people are not going to the hospital with heart conditions, with strokes, because they're afraid of catching a little tiny bug. We sit back and say, I will serve God when I'm not afraid. When does fear come? People do not know real fear until the Bible says fear cometh as a desolation. Until the fear of the Lord falls full upon this earth, people won't know what fear really is. You better not be afraid of man. We sit back and tell God, I will do this, I will do that. Sit back and think you're the only one. You know, isn't it amazing in the Bible that there was only one donkey that the Lord ever told to talk? And when God told that one donkey to talk, that one donkey talked. Yet the Lord tells us that he has to look through 1,000 people just to find one person. 999 are sitting out there saying, God spoke to me, but I did not move. So you be impressed today if you want to be. You bray all you want. But which are you? The 999? Or the one. I will is a dangerous thing. It allows anger to build up inside of us. Isn't it amazing? The very same substance that bubbles, boils, spills over in your stove is the same substance that the Lord said, peace be still to, and it was calm. I wonder today if we don't have peace like we ought to have because we keep telling God what we will do and what we will trust in, what we will believe in. when we ought to believe in God and His Word. We ought to put all of our faith in Him. All our ways acknowledge Him. Let Him direct all of our paths. But we'd rather have pride than peace. I wonder, through all of this, why we keep saying, I will do this, when God says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Today's message is not about what you will do. It's about what God will do. And I want us to think about that today. I have spent so much time in my life, I don't know about anyone else if you've ever done this, but I've spent time in my life bargaining with God. Lord, if you'll just do this, then I'll do that. Lord, if you'll just give me this, I'll use it for you. Lord, if you'll just... And you know, we sit there and we waste our time trying to tell God what we will do, trying to get Him to do what we want Him to do, rather than just simply doing what we ought to do and letting God do what He will do. He says, I will. Or here, will I? I wonder why sometimes we wonder why the Lord's not moving in our lives and why He's not using us. It's because we're not letting God do what He will do. Will He work in your life? Will God be used of you? Will God be honored of you? The Lord is not someone sitting back there. He doesn't say, I wonder if I'm going to save that person or not. That's His will. He wants to save them. He doesn't sit back and say, I wonder if I want to allow America to have revival. God wants America to have revival. He doesn't sit back and say, I wonder if I want that family to prosper. I wonder if I want that lady there to take and have her life transformed and to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course He does. That's why Peter says, grow in grace. It is God's will. It is what God wants to do. But will He? The will He must not be determined based upon God. It must be determined based upon us. People say, well, I'll get up and go to church today if the preacher will preach a good message. I hope you'll get up and go to church today whether the preacher preaches a good message or he's boring. I didn't get that option as a kid. Okay? You say, well, I'm going to read my Bible today because I need something. You want to read your Bible because it's the right thing to do. You say, you better be very careful, by the way. I really believe a lot of times we have troubles and trials come our way because Satan wants to attack us because he wants to get you to quit. And you know what it takes in your life? You have to determine that it doesn't matter what comes against you, you will not quit. Amen. Remember our national anthem about the flag? The British had fired shots at it all night. And he was looking the next day, wasn't he, to see if the flag was still there? And it had holes. And it was tattered. And there were all sorts of wounds. But when he looked at the fort to see if it had fallen or not, he saw that flag. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light. The flag still stood. Sometimes there's believers today, I said it outside, I'll say it again this morning, but in the last 24 hours, a little bit over 24 hours now, three churches have been attacked with fire. One in California, Alabama, and then one in Ocala. Ocala's getting awful close to home, isn't it? The guy drove his car into the front of the church and threw a firebomb into it. He was caught almost immediately. Crazy. Drug-crazed, wild-eyed, but someone is organized. You don't have three churches get firebombed all on the same day in the United States without someone reading something on some sort of social site or whatever. I'm going to tell you, I've been told this by many people, but what's behind this is not man. What's behind this is evil. It is satanic. It is sensual. It is devilish. It is wicked. We're watching all of this go on and we see all of these things, these attacks and this hatred and this just bitterness and strife. And why do we want to be attached to that? Why do we want to connect? our lives with that? If they come and burn our building down, what are we going to do? We're going to go out under a tree and preach and have services and keep going on. But preacher, you know what? Something happens to me. You better keep serving God. Sometimes people get there and they'll say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord as long as it's peaceful. And I'm going to serve the Lord as long as there's paths is strewn with flowers. And I'm going to serve the Lord. What kind of life do you think it is? I heard one preacher one time. He said, I think we caused a problem with our young people. He said, we made everything easy on them. He said, that's not how life is. Young people grow up, they don't have any problems. They all get participation awards for going out there and kicking the soccer ball in a stupid way. Doesn't matter whether they're good or not, they get a participation award. Yay, people clap for them. They go to school, people clap for them. They get an award for whatever, anything, everything. And no longer do you have to be a success in anything. That's not the way life works. Then they go through, they graduate, they spend their money in college. Everything's made easy for them. You know, if you think, by the way, that college, public colleges today are easy or hard, talk to my mom. She's taught at college before. The students want to show up, they show up. If they don't want to show up, they don't have to show up. They do their work, they do their work. If they don't do their work, you have to bend over backwards for them all the time. They're entitled. Everyone's entitled today. Christian colleges are not that. Good Christian colleges are not that way. They believe in making you work, write, type, learn, memorize. What happened in our country? You are not smart because someone gave you a piece of paper, but kids think they are. Oh, they get a piece of paper now. I've got a document that says you should hire me and I'm best for the job. I got to tell you, I don't think that that's the best person for the job. I will take an older person that actually works over a younger person that thinks they know everything. I had a kid one time tell me that. He thought he was the smartest thing in the world. I've told you the story so many times, but I'm going to tell it to you again. He thought he was the smartest thing in the world. He came out there to work. He never did like to work, didn't like to dig holes, didn't like to do anything. Couldn't get that boy. He was so lazy. He couldn't wait for it to get to 3:30 so he could go home. He looked at me one day, and I was had to type up something. He said, I bet you I can type better than you. He said, I probably know computers better than you. I was walking down to go to the office, had to hand something in, and it just struck me the wrong way. I'm a very nice person. I tell people that all the time. It just struck me wrong. And here in front of everybody, I looked back at him, and I stuck my finger out. I'd probably get arrested for that today. I stuck my finger at him, and I said, I bet you I can dig a hole better than you can. We were done with him. Fast forward a few years, I saw his little brainy self. He was working a minimum wage job in Radio Shack. Smarter than everybody else. Nothing wrong with Radio Shack. But when you're smarter than everyone else, why are you working at Radio Shack? I thought you'd be running your own company by now. You know why? It's because he never learned to do the work. Sometimes we as God's people, we get back there and we just get so filled up with ourselves and we think that I will do this and then God's just going to give me everything I want. Well, shame on us. We should serve God because it's the right thing to do. God will do what he will do. But we have to just accept it. Be willing to commit. We have to be willing not to stand back there and say, I wonder who's going to listen to me. I wonder how. I sat up here in church when I was a kid. And I, you know, I had so many times in my life did things I'm ashamed of. Just like everybody. Right? I said, I'm going to get my life right with God. I read my Bible in secret. Don't want people to know you read your Bible. Don't want people to know you pray. Something hit me. It's time for him to sing. I had the same bad voice when I was a kid as I have now. I sat back there in the seat and I said, you know what? I don't care what people think anymore. And when it came time to sing, I sang loud. The kids we had in the bus, they turned around and looked at me. What is going on? But something happened in that moment. Committed. I sat in church before and I heard preacher preach one time, and the Lord was convicting me that I should go forward and preach. I made excuses. I said if the Lord would do this, he'd do that, then I'd do, you know, the preaching thing. Never once, and I know the Lord could answer the prayer. Never once did the Lord answer my prayers. He just stopped talking to me. Until I got to youth conference one year. You know, it came down to a point in my life at which I realized that I would either die or I'd do what God wanted me to do. I mean, it was killing me inside. Now listen, don't be stupid like me. But when the invitation was given, I didn't care who watched. I didn't care who wanted to know. Just like I didn't care who listened. I was going to stand up for the Lord and just do it no matter what. The Lord was either going to have to honor me, use me for his honor and for his glory, or I was going to fall and fail. But whatever I did, I was going to do. Had someone ask me something, they said, you know, you do some weird things, you know. A little old-fashioned. Always been old-fashioned in a way. Told him when I was 20 years old. I said, I'm too old to change now. Had the same Bible for 20 years of my life when I was 20 years old. It suited me just fine. I'm not changing now. Now here I am, 41. I've had the same Bible now for 41 years of my life. I'm just too old to change now. Had the same Jesus Christ. Same cross, same gospel. Same empty tomb. 41 years of my life. I'm just too old to change now. Just, it's not worth it. He's been too good to me. He's taken care of me every step of the way. I haven't always had my monetary cup full. I haven't always had my physical cup full. And I definitely haven't always had my mental cup full. But as the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. I see, you get to a point in life, and I don't know when that point was, but maybe I was young, I don't know. But whenever that point came in my life, I said, you know what, I am just too tired, I'm too old, I'm not going to change, I'm standing. And it has enabled me to do some stupid things in my life. I was a teenager one time, I had a kid in there, he was that much wider than me, he was a big kid. And he wasn't doing right in Sunday school class, and I was in there with a bunch of teenage boys. Some of them are dead now, some of them are in jail. And that young man was not doing what's right, and I went over the chairs and stood in his face. You say, stupid. I don't know. I am the most timid person outside the pulpit, but when it comes to certain things, I don't mind standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit. If you're given a choice between doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing, do the right thing every time. You say, do you? No. But I want to, don't you? Why do we live halfway between this opinion and that opinion? Do you know what? Stop trying to justify yourself when you do what's wrong. Well, people tell me, well, preacher, I know it's wrong. If you know it's wrong, do right. Well, but preacher, you just don't understand. What is there not to understand? Yeah, I chose a good job. You know what? If you want to make a ton of money, become a preacher. It's just loads of money. Now listen, I'm not saying God hasn't taken care of me. I am blessed. My family's, we are well taken care of. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, listen, you don't go out there and you don't make the most money in life by becoming a preacher. So you sit back there and you say, hey, what's God want me to do in my life? depends on what you're looking for. Now listen, God doesn't want everybody to be preachers. God doesn't want everyone to surrender to full-time Christian service. Though I think, this is very scriptural, I think every young person in this room ought to lust after being a full-time Christian servant.
Yes. Amen.
That's biblical. Young men ought to do that. The young men ought to just have a desire to be preachers. They ought to say, that's what I want to prepare my life for. God may never call them to be a pastor. Brother Storm is called to preach, but he works on buses. More souls are won every week because of Brother Storm than if he'd ever preached in a church. So, you know, you can be used in different ways. Brother Madden used to win people to the Lord all the time, and he cooked. He was a chef. He did it in the military, and then after he got out, he went back in. They used him as a contractor then. And he fixed food for officers, and he preached the Word of God. See, you don't have to be a pastor to be used of God. What I'm saying is, you've got to be determined that you're committed to God. What's your family like? Is your family godly? Is your life godly? If you were the last person in church here, you were the only person in church here that anybody could look to for instruction, could you teach him anything about the Lord? You say, well, I will do this for the Lord. No, forget that. What is God going to do in your life? We need to make sure we stop this bargaining and we commit. I have some poems here. I wanted to give you this one. Unshackled from sin, imprisoned to praise, I'm sentenced to love thee for the rest of my days. My heart has been bound with thy merciful cords. My tongue has been loosed for thy love songs, O Lord. No bars, no chains are required on me. For 'tis my greatest joy to be fettered to thee. How about this old song? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. That's what we need to do. And what will God do? I have 2 points of the message, now that I got to the introduction. The first one is here, I will. I will. What's what we need to focus on first? Who is the I? Now we know who the I is. The I is the Lord. The I is worthy of surrender. We ought to surrender to the Lord. He's worthy of it. He deserves all of our surrender. He deserves us coming to him humbly. He deserves us accepting whatever he leads us to after that willingly. It doesn't matter where God takes you. You know, David had to wonder in his life. The Lord had anointed him king, had him anointed king, didn't he? By Samuel. And David had to wonder many times in his life as Saul was chasing him out there in the wilderness, is God really going to make me king? This doesn't seem like the path of a king. How about Joseph? God told Joseph in a dream that he was going to be mighty and that his brothers were going to bow down to him and his father was going to bow down to him. And Joseph was cast into prison, sold as a slave, wasn't he? And cast into prison. He had to wonder, didn't he? Lord, you're going to make me great? Abraham had to wonder. He was told he'd have a son. And time went on. He got to 75 and he never had a son. Time went on. Time went on. He even tried to cheat, didn't he? But God said, nope, that's not your son. I'm going to send you a son. You imagine that? Almost 100 years old. And the son finally comes. You wonder sometimes, is God going to do what he says he's going to do? You know what? We need to learn to humble ourselves to his will. And then just simply accept what he sends us to. The Lord is worthy of all of our praise and surrender. He's not a cruel master. He's kind, he's loving, and he gently leads us. Notice the next thing, and this is the last part of it. But I want you to see what he will do. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. 3 things. What is his will? Well, first of all, he said he'll hear. Now, sometimes I think the Lord doesn't hear certain people because of their condition. They're lost. It's possible that You can speak a different language than someone else, and they can't hear what you're saying. They can't understand what you're saying. Lost world's trying to go out there, and you can come to church and be lost. You can pray and be lost. You can give offerings and be lost. You could get baptized and yet be lost. Not mean a thing. Do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you born again? There should be a difference in your life. You say, well, preacher, I prayed a prayer when I was in a church. Oh, prayed a prayer or whatever. Did the Lord Jesus Christ save you? Such a difference, isn't it? Sometimes the Lord doesn't hear those that are believers because even though they're speaking the right language, they're talking in the wrong words. I think sometimes we try to tell the Lord what we're going to do. We need to hear Him. He'll hear us if we'll hear Him and respond to Him correctly. The Lord says, I will hear. We need the Lord to hear us today. Our nation needs us to hear Him. And He says, I will forgive. Forgiveness is two things. It's freedom from and freedom to. Freedom from sin, the freedom to live for the Lord. We need to have forgiveness, a freedom in our life. People going around today and they're saying they want freedom to do this and freedom to do that. All they're thinking about is freedom to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter what happens to anyone else. We need to stand back and say, you know what, we need freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Bill of Rights in our country. Government's not supposed to be able to do anything when it comes in regards to religion. We've told them they're not allowed to do anything. Government keeps trying to step over that bound. Matter of fact, it's not our job. I've had preachers before. It's easy for me to do it. Go out there and you can pick on other people, other churches, other preachers. But let me tell you something. That's not my job. We need to make sure that we have freedom, forgiveness in our own life. How do you know you have forgiveness? When the Lord gives you victory over sins. There's nobody can forgive you from a sin but the Lord. You've committed sins in your life and those things are constantly in your mind. You need to put them away. The Bible says they're so separated in the Lord's mind they're as far as east is from west. Right? The old preacher about the fishing, right? The Lord buried it in the ocean. But the preacher said, we keep putting a fishing sign right over top of it and keep fishing right there. Stop going back to it again. The Bible says the dog has returned to its vomit. So a fool to his folly. That's what we do. We keep going back to the same sin. You say, that doesn't sound very appetizing. Well, you're not going to go home and eat right now anyway. I'll forgive them. And lastly here, I will heal. Nobody comes there and binds up our wounds like the Lord. It's a whole other message I was thinking about this morning. I was doing a Bible study on Luke 6. I'll preach it sometime. The Lord will. About the man with the withered hand. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? That the Bible doesn't say he had withered hands. It says he has a withered hand. And I'd always, this has always stuck with me. I read this when I was a little kid. It's stuck in my brain since then. The Lord tells us so many times, stretch forth thine hand. But Lord, it doesn't work. And He says, stretch it forth anyway. There was a man in a hospital. He had a crushed arm years ago. And the doctor said, we're going to have to cut off your arm. It's got an infection in it. You're going to lose your arm. And they said, he said, no, I don't want to lose my arm. And the doctor said, if you don't lose your arm, you're going to lose your life. And the man says, I'd rather lose my life than lose my arm. The nurse took pity on him, and she did everything possible. She bound his wound up. She cleaned his wound. She did everything for his arm possible. And lo and behold, it healed. He was so appreciative of that nurse and all the work that she'd put in to saving his arm. He said, it's no longer my arm. He called it her arm. I wonder if we shouldn't do that with our life. I believe it's Francis Havergal that wrote the words, take my life and let it be consecrated Lord, to Thee. Take my hand. Take my lips. Take my feet. Take my mind. Take my life. And let it be. I wonder if today we wouldn't be very well suited to let the Lord heal us. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive her sin, and will heal their land. What Christ is to us, the shield from every dart, the balm for every smart, the sharer of each load, companion on the road, door into the fold, anchor that will hold, shepherd of the sheep, guardian of my sleep, the friend with whom I talk, the way by which I walk, the light to show the way, the strength for every day, the source of my delight, the song to cheer the night, the thought that fills my mind, the best of all to find is Jesus. Why do we keep searching for our way, our path, when He said He will? Today is not a message about what will you do for Christ. It's about letting the Lord work in your life by saying whatever you want. I want you to work. What does it take? You say, preacher, I'm not perfect. God can't use my life. God can't work in my life because I'm not perfect. Was David perfect? Didn't David have to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart? Didn't David, the apple of God's eye, say, search me. Try me. Purify me, Lord. Clean me. Today we need to allow the Lord to work in our life and give Him more and more room to work. Years ago, and I'll stop, I'll end with the story, but years ago, I went into a place and they had a Christmas tree that wasn't working. And I come in there with my little black bag with a computer in it. I walk in there and I'm all dressed up, you know. I'm not in a suit and tie, but I mean I wear, you know, business casual clothes. And I come walk in there and then they say, what do you need? Strangest thing in the world. If I need more room, they give me more room. I sat down, they gave me a fan. First gave me a seat. I think it's because they thought that I knew what I was doing. I wonder if we think that God knows what He's doing in us. Lord, do you need more room? Don't leave, Lord. Stay here and rest with me. Don't leave me, Lord. Use me. I will give you as much room as you possibly can so you can do what only you will do. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive. Then will I heal. Today, I want to be whole with Him. Do you? God says, I will. Let's let Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. If the Lord has spoken to your heart today, like I said, it's just about you getting out of the way of God. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart today, do not go out that door without first honoring Him with your time, your heart, your prayers this morning. My wife plays on the piano. Maybe she sings a song, whatever the Lord lays in her heart. If she does, you slip out from your seat. You come down here to the altar this morning. I found this quote, whatsoever my path may be, whatsoever thou shalt do, let the thing that pleaseth thee also please thy servant too. Let that be about us today.